We are live at twitch.tv/GMS Cut. Now, you know this because you're watching this, but why am I saying it? Because my guest would actually like to piggyback this into their own feed so their own fans can pick it up, because we're not just here for me. We're here for them. We're here for the fact that my audience is hopefully going to become their audience, and vice versa, if I'm lucky. Tonight, I have very, very special guests, more people from the future. Now, I've often talked about my son-in-law, Jay Tamlin, and my daughter that are currently in Japan. They're 13 hours in the future, but I want to push the future further. 14 hours! Where can I find podcasters that are 14 hours in the future? In New Zealand. So tonight, I am speaking with the one of the Dungeon Master Game Masters and two lovely cast members from the Don't Forget Your Towel podcast. Now, if you've seen or know anything about the British sci-fi, come on, you know where I'm going to go with this. No? Well, you know what? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to spoil it. If you type in sci-fi Google search and a towel, something British will come up, and it's not a waste of your time. But just in case I'm wrong, I'm not going to say the title. So who do we have with us tonight? I have Isabel Cohen. I have Aaron O'Flattery. And I have Azul of no last name, because they're a little shy. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on here.
So as I said before, here's our logo, the Don't Forget Your Towel podcast. Let's talk about the logo. I love the fact that you've taken a world and sliced it into multiple worlds, because the concept of your podcast is playing several game systems, several one-shots on several worlds. Is that true?
Yeah, so we aim to play every RPG in existence, or, well, die trying, and it increasingly seems like the latter.
Have you ever seen a website called thetrove.net, which literally has hundreds of RPGs going all the way back into the 80s, 70s? Like, there are a lot. I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah.
There's an RPG for everything, every movie, every TV show, things that you would not think would make an RPG tabletop. They've tried the Zakor book, whether it's splatted together or whatnot. So the very first question that we love asking all of our guests here on Attack of Opportunity is, how did you guys first know that you were a geek, a nerd, one of us? Let's start, ladies first, with Isabel.
Gosh, how did I first know I was a geek or a nerd? Well, ever since a young age, I would rather read than do anything else. I remember I have a strong memory when I was 7 of being in the classroom and reading a book before school started, and then hearing this, and I look up and everybody has already arrived. They're seated in front of the teacher, and I've completely missed like all of the morning stuff, and they had just left me to read the whole time, and I'd not noticed at all. So I've always enjoyed reading. I got very into fantasy and science fiction at a young age, but I think it really solidified when I started watching anime at 11 and decided that learning Japanese was my utmost priority above anything else and any other schoolwork. So that kind of set me on the course.
Oh, wow. You sound like my daughter, who found those fan fiction sites, and the 12-year-old tweeny thing to do was go on there and start writing fan fiction based on anime or whatever. She did a lot of that, and she actually is in Japan right now teaching English to Asians, following the dream. So hang in there, Isabel. You too could make it to, you know, actually from New Zealand, Japan isn't that far. It'd be kind of like a weekend thing, wouldn't it? You just pop over and...
12 hours.
12 out, really?
12-hour trip.
Oh, okay. Sorry, maybe it's just because the time zone. I know she's like 13 hours in my future and you're 14, so I didn't think it was that far, but I guess an entire time zone is, yeah. Yes, that's right. Time zones are vertical, like your very cool logo. Aaron, what about you?
Yeah, I have a pretty similar background to Isabel, really. Yeah, always been like an avid reader. I also studied Japanese and watched a lot of anime.
Please talk into the cat mask. Can't hear you as well. they're sharing a microphone. There you go.
And then it wasn't till I met Azul that I found the wonderful world of RPGs. and video games and all that kind of stuff. And because I'm an actor, I just got like really drawn into RPGs and how fun and creative it is. So now I'm a proud TTRPG nerd.
Oh, there you go. Now, I understand that actually I was just telling the cast members, when I vet a guest, I dabble, I jump around several episodes of their podcast. I try to quickly gain as much, sometimes I barely have a week, intel on them as their artwork they like, something about, especially if it's a multiple cast, lots and lots and lots. I had the distinct pleasure of listening to one of your first one-shots, your fifth edition one-shot, The Chrononauts, where you guys did, this would seem to be a homebrew or sort of one of those fluffy little five-page you know, grab it and go kind of adventures run by Azul here.
Yeah, it was kind of like I used the online prompt and it gave me a prompt where a dwarf wanted to take over time and I used that to just create something of a night, to be honest.
Really? So the time wizards, all the clocks in the town, the sheep, that was all you?
That was all me.
Oh, that's great. So how about you, Azul? How did you first, you were a geek, a nerd, a member of the Cats musical, understudy of Antero Banderas for Puss in Boots.
I don't even remember. I remember getting into, I thought I was into video games back in the day when video games were a thing. I mean, even now, but when consoles were a bigger thing than they are now with the Nintendo and stuff like that. And I came across Vampire the Masquerade and I thought that a VTM was a video game and I got super into it trying to find out where this video game was, but it turns out it was an RPG and I kind of just, that was the moment where I said goodbye to the rest of my life and just jumped in.
I remember when that hit the shelf, like walking into a game store.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know I'm old. I never played it, always wanted to, but never did. But moving on. Now, we've got three cast members, and I'm trying not to try something where we're not necessarily recycling the same question, even though the answers might be slightly different. So when we get talking about the actual content you're creating, you're all on the same page. So before we get there, and then you guys can each, you know, pick someone to field the questions, dabbling into personal histories a bit more, I noticed something in the credits that the ladies are both actresses and Aaron is a singer, because if you listen to anything, you have to listen to the first 2 minutes of each episode of that first one shot of Aaron singing this tavern song with this medieval bardic music. And it's not that annoying green leaves, the regular, the DM goes, hey guys, I've got tavern music, and you just want to like bleed out your eyes and kill someone with a mandolin. No, like this is cool, but it stays in the genre. And the words change each episode reflecting, like, it reminds me of the bard from The Witcher.
Right? Ah, don't toss your coin or something.
The way you sing the song kind of gets me that it's like the singer knows them, but not well enough to really tell you properly what's going on. It's like the singer has their own version of like, oh, I think you're this, and this is going to make a great song. And then you have the Witcher or like the cast going, that's not us. That's, what are you talking? You know, that kind of thing. And it's brilliant. We have Matt Witt, who sings front man for his dad's band, and he did our own Star Wars Order 66 parody song. And I called him up, like, you got to listen to these guys, you know, and we have to do a song, you know, that's your new job, right? So we gotta do music. And that was all inspired by the way you guys put your first show together. And it's light, it's pink and fluffy, like the sheep, the time sheep that's bouncing around. It's got, you know, I don't want to spoil it, get into it, because you guys have moved on, you're trying to do other stuff, you guys have moved other cast members. So getting back to the question at hand, what came first, Isabelle, the acting or the RPG?
Yeah, so I have been interested in theater for most of my life. So definitely the acting came first. So I actually, this was my first time doing any tabletop. I'd actually never done any tabletop before this podcast. I was doing LARPing quite a bit, which I really loved because it was kind of the improv side of acting and trying to become the character and really live it. And I'd always stayed away from tabletop because I was afraid that it would be more dice rolling and a lot less of the actual like acting it out and role playing aspect of it. And so when Azul came to me with his podcast idea, and I'd logged with Azul before, and I knew like his style. I was like, yes, that's awesome. This is exactly what I would want from a tabletop type thing. So I was really excited. The acting came first, and everything else kind of spawned out of it.
Right on. That's really cool. Aaron, acting yes. and singing, which I just went on about for possibly too long, hoping to embarrass anyone. I love the headshot of you. Can you kill the feed so everyone can see this headshot?
Oh, sure.
If you're a Ferris Bueller fan, it's like, oh my god, it's Jennifer Grey. Oh,
well,
you know,
thank you.
No, I can't. I've set this. I've set up Zoom so it doesn't show non-video.
Oh, no.
Hang on. There it is. No, you look. You look like the young and talented version of Jennifer Grey.
Well, thank you.
Sorry, like I said again, not to make fun, but since we're doing the video and we're doing live, but the bigger audience comes from the podcast. If I don't describe mm-hmm. everything I flash on a screen,
oh yes,
half the interview is lost to the bigger audience, the 70% audience that snatches this up. Anyway, please come back before I start quoting the movie. There you go. Okay.
Yes, that's my professional headshot.
Yeah, that's nice. Singing. What came first? The chicken, the egg, the singing, the RPG? Well, you just said he introduced the RPG.
Well, acting came first. I've been acting one way or another since I was a kid. That's really my first and truest love.
Yeah.
And then I got into singing. Because that can be a big part of acting. And especially at high school, you know, you do a lot of musicals and stuff. So then I started really getting into singing and doing singing lessons for several years, I guess, and also fell in love with singing. Then RPGs came much later than that.
Okay, we're going to try something. So I'm going to do this and then back and forth, because as long as one, no, seriously, as long as one of you are muted, we won't get that echo. Right?
Cool.
Right? So... But here's the trick. If Isabel mutes Fire A, that's actually going to mute you too.
Yeah. Right? No, because my headset is on my laptop, so the sound's coming from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you just mute.
Yeah, if you mute sound. When they're talking. But I also need it the other way. So like if you guys... So it's pretty much we're going to put Isabel on the trigger because she's in front of your computer, right?
Yes.
Gotcha.
So you go back and forth. So I'm not going to constantly say unmute, but I'm going to be doing this. If so, we can't hear you. Signals, you know, they won't see this in the podcast. In the video, they'll be like, what's he doing? But
the unknown signals.
What's the thing with a live show? You know, like you get as much tech worked out as you can, and then you go live. It's like, you know, that type of thing. And why are we doing a live show? I always had a deep appreciation for Saturday Night Live as well as the Canadian version, Second City TV. I don't know if that was shot live, but that... Like I said, that stage acting. I mean, you mentioned LARPing, the stage acting type of thing. Yeah, I did my share of several high school drama classes, the type of thing. So, like, I get it. You know, the buzz, the feed, the interacting with the people. I'm looking at our chat right now. I see crickets, but, you know, eventually. I'm kind of getting overwhelmed here. You guys are such interesting characters. Now, why the cat jokes in the podcast, if you're just listening to this? Azul is literally wearing what looks to be one of those homemade porcelain masks that he's painted himself.
I actually painted it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Aaron painted it as a gift. And it does the nose and the cheeks, so you just see his mouth so we can see him speaking in the eyes. And it does really go well against your blue hair, dude, I just got to say.
Thank you. Yeah.
That works good. So what about you guys are all playing together. Did you play before you started podcasting? Because you make it very clear. I remember Isabel was playing the halfling and you guys were like, you're the newbie. And then Aaron's like, no, I'm kind of new. Right. And you get to do all these new things for the first time. And someone like myself, and again, I recommend this podcast to you guys. You get to share the newbie experience with someone that has great voice acting and does her character better than some other experienced players. Guys, I noticed those guys didn't show tonight because I would have been all over them with all their jokes, you know, like those guys. Do you want to give a shout out to the male members of the cast?
Yeah. So this is, honestly, we have hit so many people, so we rotate our cast. So at least for Chrononauts, our two co-stars, I suppose, was Michael Whiteman and
James Cooper.
And James Cooper, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to say a personal hello because their characters is my go-to guy. The foppy noble, the aha, yes, you know, yes, well, of course I know. Well, you know, I mean, have you ever seen the movie El Dorado?
Yes.
Okay, my daughter and I can do, if you actually put in the DVD, the first 10 minutes, I kid you not, like from opening scene, the first 10 minutes is a running dialogue between the two characters from Spain to the beach island, to like, oof. Like straight non-talking, straight talking, 10 minute dialogue, and my daughter and I can do it.
Oh, I love it.
Absolutely love it. Well, we could maybe 10 years ago when the movie's out. Now I was like, Anyway, so I'm sorry they couldn't be here tonight, but a shout out to them. I love the characters and I love the way the guys think. And you're talking about now like a bigger cast, but we will touch on that soon. Hmm. So trying to keep this in chrononaut order of how I usually have my questions arranged. You guys talk about your exposure to nerddom, how long you've been playing gaming. What started the content? Where was the inspiration? How'd you go from the 99% consumer to the 1% creator? Is there a story there?
I mean, you know, COVID happened and we all had...
You wanted to do it before COVID happened.
I mean, I'd always wanted to create something that I could actually share with people, and I'd been itching to do something creative in the sphere of RPG, in the things that I love really, which is RPGs. And I listened to so many D&D podcasts and so many Call of Cthulhu podcasts, but not many podcasts that just keep on jumping around. And so I'd often find myself wondering, is this RPG good? How about this one? How does this work? And stuff like that. And I thought, hang on, why don't we just play it and, you know, just jump right into it? And you know, I had friends and
make something where people can listen to a whole variety of RPGs, yes, to get an idea of what it might be like.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it. No, I love it. And I get it. Like I said, most people start a podcast, one crew, five cast members, one show. And even at the gate, I didn't do that. I want 10 shows. Like, I want to be a producer. You know, yes. That's not working out very well. But still plugging away and like spinning lots of plates. You got spinning too many plates, right?
Yeah.
But I admire the moxie that you guys would take a cast and not just keep the same cast to change into a different RPG. I'm assuming you've gone after people that are into the new RPG that you're trying. The best choice for DM or the best choice for like, oh, I love Cthulhu stuff. For example, yeah. Cthulhu, not my thing. But Ryan Messina, one of my guys, and they love that stuff, right? They play all the video games. And so, you know, like the right chemistry, the right people for it. So... getting back to the origin story, did you come out of the gate with just like the one that I listened to and then went from there? Or were you making phone calls, you know, like the fixer that's always on the phone going, yeah, my people call your people and you're next week and you two come over here and we'll shoot this week. Like, did you just go, how'd this come about?
I think Aaron can answer that today.
It was more akin to the latter, really. Like once we had the idea for the podcast, we knew we wanted to work with actors and voice actors, and also just anyone who had RPG experience and was into making a podcast. So we contacted a bunch of people that we already knew and kind of met with people who were like friends of friends, and talked with them about the idea and how things might run, because we kind of knew that we wanted to have a pool of people to draw from. One, because it's easier to organize when you don't have to have it scheduled around all these people. You can kind of get people to come in and out and people can be more flexible with their schedules. And also so that we could have a whole variety of people come on board and play with us, and different people with different tastes to come in and play the different games. So we kind of established our core sort of group of people that we wanted to work with before we ever started recording. Yeah. And then we started sort of planning oh, we want to play this game first and then we'll play this game. And as we got into it, we started sort of consulting the players a bit more about what we should play next, and getting people to kind of say, oh, I really want to play this game and I want to GM this. Yeah.
Okay. Well, deciding that, what's your favorite class, race, alignments? Like, you got a lot of you guys are just getting into this. I'm going to skip to the next question is, where do you actually create the content? Do you guys do what we do where you're all Zoom calls over the place? Or do you still have, like, you guys are part of that tight bubble where it's okay to mask up or not? And you know what I mean? Because you've been isolated from the world and you guys can still sneak each over and get the five people around the table. Like, where does the magic happen? Where do you record? Oh, speaking of which, I have an awesome picture that I'm showing now of your recording equipment. I love this pink purple lit that shows the Zoom recorder. Those aren't cheap. The microphones all together holding up a D20, you know. Don't worry, Messina. They're only the tips are touching. maybe some headphones, some of these. Are these like foam lined cases? What's on the left here? I'm just looking at this picture. I see the book. I've got it. You know what? I can make it my background because today's technology, with today's advanced technology, I can do really cool stuff and show, like, do this. So what is that? Go. What is that? What is this thing?
Oh, that's the microphone case for which mic is that?
I think it was the sixth mic, just in case if we need.
I was more asking for the brand, but
I don't.
This is really hard looking at myself in the camera and like figuring that I'm pointing at the right object here. I just love this picture. Like the lighting and the dice and everything, the way it's lit with that pink purple is really brilliant. Like, just look at this. That's awesome. That's really good. That's really
good. We literally spent almost an hour trying to
set this all up. Having that as part of your shtick, or just having it out there with artwork that is referenced, because when I typed in "Don't Forget Your Tell Podcast" and went to images on Google, these two images popped up. Your logo and this shot of that you guys have created, right? And I really like that. I think it's very clever. So you guys get credit for like a little bit of artistry, the fact that you're bringing in, I want to say professionals, but like I said, you guys are so excited that you're new to the community of gaming. You know, and you don't have to be an actress or voice act talent to enjoy this game or to do a decent podcast. You just got to be enthusiastic about it, you know, and the chemistry flows yes, you can tell those that have a bit more polished cadence in their voices compared to those that are not in some of the podcasts that I've listened to, including, you know, some stuff I've listened to your stuff, but in my opinion, I'm not trying to isolate or single out the fact that you guys have good chemistry and are really excited to play. That's what makes it enjoyable to an audience. Mm. That's what makes it enjoyable to me. I think many people would agree. Can you guys conjure up possibly a happy accident? Something that did not happen. No, I'm not talking about the cool thing like Chrononauts should be our name, you know. Hey, Carol. is it Carol? That was the halfling's name. Is it Carol?
Coral
the halfling. And Aaron, I also love your character. She's a paladin. But she's into like, share your pain with me. No one hear about your suffering. You know, and I'm just, I'm almost swerving off the road listening to and Coral, Isabel, when you do the halfling, so much presence from two lines when anybody talks to you and demands you do something and you say, okay. Like, it's brilliant. Anyway, my point being, you got to have fun and be enthusiastic and the talent flow, whether you're like programmed for the talent or not. But what about an accident? Someone like everyone's, I really should have sent you these questions early. Something that was not supposed to happen. And I'm not just talking about how you dug up that cat mask at the last minute. That's awesome, by the way.
I guess at least from my side, the most surprising thing for us, the happy accident, is that a couple of days into our creating our Twitter account and stuff like that, we got contacted by a Kickstarter, like an RPG Kickstarter, who had listened to a few of our episodes and thought it was really good, and they wanted to, you know, get us to play their RPG. And that really, we were so excited. To be honest, they were from London, I believe, or somewhere in England, and we just had like 3 days, and we planned everything, tried to do everything in the week, and that was definitely an accident on our part. We did not expect it, but it turned out to be super fun and super awesome for us.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah,
like out of the gate. I mean, sure, there's part of me that's been doing this for 4 years going, good for you. Good for you. But no, honestly, like, you got to be enthused when something like that happens, like for someone to reach out and say, hey, you know, I mean, I could tell you guys were excited when I reached out, because you're just like, ooh, no, I don't work for Time Magazine. Calm down. I'm not with Time Magazine. I am not some kind of big show. You know, you're not going to be on the Seth Green show. Like, no. I am a big fat nobody. But you can take this content and you can show it to your own listeners, and they will learn a little bit more about you that they might just not get from the show. And that is the set purpose.
Yeah.
And free content for me. So everybody wins.
It's a win-win situation.
Everybody wins in this scenario.
Yeah.
So speaking of social media, where they contacted you, where can we find you? What social media are you guys on? And can you list them? Of course, I'll get a list off of you and put it in the bio and the credits for later uploads. But off the top of your head, I know you're on Twitter, because that's where I usually do my fishing for awesome people in the community, like such as yourself.
So we're in most social media that we would consider in existence. Well, most of the main ones. So we're on Instagram and Twitter at DFYT_podcast. We're on Facebook at Don't Forget Your Towel Podcast. And you can also contact us through like email at DFYTpodcast@gmail.com as well. We're pretty friendly, and we don't bite yet. So
this is a friendly cat.
Yes.
Yeah, at least not in game.
Yes.
No, I'm not touching that. That's just too easy to make fun of. Okay, sorry. It's not gonna. It's almost like you guys are like waiting for me to dig in with a really big joke. It's like, no, sorry. I wanted. This is a question that I haven't actually got to ask everyone, because though I do ask lately, because it is a new question, as soon as you put yourself out there, some people make a choice for an online persona. And I'm not talking about the Gap mask, honestly. I'm just talking about like the you that's all like, hi, I'm GM Jeff Ball. Welcome to the show. And then there's just me when I'm talking to you, like, could you please be in my show? Please. You know, that type of thing. You know, do you find yourself taking it up a notch? Do you actually have something like, can anyone vouch going, oh, no, this is not me in person. I just decided that, you know, the Azul that is the DM has to be a certain way so that you can separate yourself. You know, and I'm not saying like from the fame or whatever, just a lot of people, they go online and they, you know, they're, especially when they're anonymous, right? They're just not themselves. You say things and do things you would not do. And I've come across more and more people, and I'm asking them, oh, you've been podcasting for a month, a week, a year, 10 years.
Right.
And I get the same thing as a lot of people like, this is just me. You know, very down to earth people. And then you have someone going, oh, no, actually, you know, actually, I'm not British. I'm actually from the States. I'm from Wisconsin. Oh, really? You know, like, oh, yeah. You know, I mean, there's a guy that does interviews and he wears a full on knight's helmet. I mean, the one that with the visor that looks like a beak, like the full on. And he sits there in a tux and it's like he's got this metal helmet and they've rigged the audio. So he sounds like he's not talking through a helmet. But he's done this, you know, anonymous sort of, I forget the name of him, it's knight something. And he sits there in a tux and then he talks to guests. And I'm like, well, this is brilliant. Like, this is really neat that you could do, you know, something like that. I myself, back in the day, someone asked about me DMing or playing, and I said, oh, I'm a DM. You know, I've been doing it forever. I've actually DM longer than a player. And one of my friends went, nah, you're more of a game show host, Jeff, than an actual DM. It's like, well, I can't disagree with that, because just from the style, right? It's like, oh, I can't really disagree. I never said I was a good DM. I just said I like doing it. You know? And let's tell the characters what they've won, Monty, you know, that kind of thing. Whether you're acting, singing, or the weeks and months that you guys have been running, has there been any sort of, you know, I need to be this other person or this character besides your characters? I know it sounds a funny question, but I'm talking about you personally on social media, that type of thing. I'm not like, Isabel, you know me as Coral. Well, obviously, Coral, you've taken an aspect of a character that you want to do or a side of yourself, and you do the shy, you know, and it really played well. When I meet Aaron in person here, I don't see the paladin that wants to know about your suffering, but I get it's a wonderful character, you know, even though she's all dressed in black. You know, is there any sort of instance with you or your cast members where there has been that sort of persona online versus your actual personality?
Oh, that's a really hard question, Jeff.
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I think we're pretty well. Pretty ourselves.
I've asked this question for 10 solid minutes. Sorry, I just.
No.
It's a new question. We're still fielding it, you know.
Yeah, just feeling it out, just, you know, finding your way to it. I mean, I can't speak for the others, but from my perspective, I would hope that I'm the same person while I GM and play as I am in real life. But I guess, Erin, Isabel, what do you guys think?
I'll mute you guys so there's no noise. Okay. To be honest, I think that we haven't had much of an opportunity to be different people, because most of the time we're acting, and of course we're playing, and then of course we're different people while we're playing, but we haven't got the type of podcast where we're creating a sort of parasocial relationship with our audience. Like, we're not really talking directly to them, or and we haven't done anything like this before. We were talking in front of people, you know, not in character for the most part. So I think maybe we haven't had an opportunity to even explore if we would be different people or not. So that'll be interesting to see if that's something that comes up if we start doing more things like this.
Well, there's a difference of how casual you guys are telling jokes around the table on the podcast because you're with friends. Trying to be yourself and answering questions with a perfect stranger that you've spoken to online via texting for 2 weeks and met me like 10 minutes ago in person, right? But I still like that raw feeling. Like, I hit you guys hard with like, okay, let's do the tech. This is what you're going to see, blah, blah, blah. This is how I roll. Any questions? If you're not comfortable with this, we can kill this. If you're not comfortable with that, I won't do this, blah, 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 type of thing. This is me. And I'm sorry, I'm Canadian. Off we go. And you know, and we just roll with it, because that I want the audience that are meeting you for the first time to react to me meeting you for the first time, because I have done people that I know personally, and I have done people that they come back on the show, because if you have such a large cast that's constantly growing, I mean, you guys, a month, 6 months go by, you guys will have much more content with that many more shows. We got to have you guys back on in 6 months again with different cast members to like re-explore the growth of the podcast in general and meet more personalities, kind of thing.
And you can ask them the same question and see what the answers are.
Yeah, I guess I'm just making the question too damn hard. Like, I knew I screwed up when I saw Isabella drifting into her phone there. I was just like, is he asking us the right question? Or is he just like,
No. I just knocked it off the table and I was worried about it.
So let's talk about how long have you guys been creating this content?
Ooh, when did we start?
We started around the middle of the year. It was coming out of the first COVID lockdown over here, because I remember, you know, we made like an FAQ document. We're putting in our COVID safety stuff. So it must have been around
July, June.
July, August.
Yeah, around then. I mean, we released in September, I believe, at the end of September. So that's when we started up. So we would have started maybe 2 months before that, I think, would have been when we started. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
June, July.
So relatively new. Like, you guys are barely like a year old.
Oh yeah, we're barely 6 months old. I think. Yeah, well, we're super new into the horizon of TTRPG.
Like, you would know it by listening to you guys. Like, you say, "Oh, we're new, and you know, we're just trying this out." But you still really get a feel that you guys know each other. That you seem to know what you're doing as far as what you wish to do. I mean, there's always that happy accents of like, oops, that's not going to work. Oh, sorry. Or somebody gaps about a character line, or even the DM can be like, there's some hesitation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the entertainment that you guys wish to set forward is clear from the get-go, and it's great.
And Thank you so much.
6 months old or not, it's like you guys are leaps and bounds against others. And again, not to put anyone else down, there's such an audience out there for that raw grab a microphone in the middle of the table and huzzah, and then you really the people get that sense of, because they don't want an overpolished or overproduced show.
Yeah.
They really feel like they're walking into a room and they walk by a table and people are actually gaming. And with that sort of, shall we say, poor man's podcast, you really get that with whatever affordable audio they can manage with whatever recording yeah. type of thing. And then you get into people that the show gets popular in 6 months to a year. They get Kickstarters. Good for you. And, you know, and patrons start coming and if they're smart, they invest it directly back to the podcast and you start polishing. You know, better layovers, better mics, the type of thing to give the audience more and better, you know, type of thing. You can't get away with that sort of style forever if your audience grows and they want to be better invested. So this leads into my next question. If you've only been doing this for 6 months, how many one-shots, how many worlds have you explored in 6 months?
What do you think?
Well, I mean, we've recorded a lot more than is being put out at this moment in time. So is that including things that haven't been put out or just episodes that have come out?
I'd like to know both, actually, because the behind the scenes, like how fast you can actually put this out under COVID conditions, that number would probably be impressive, too, if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, should probably caveat that we're very lucky in New Zealand. That, you know, we did have one initial long lockdown and then we had a second lockdown a bit later that was shorter. But otherwise, you know, we're very fortunate to be in level one most of the time. So we can kind of gather normally without any extra, without wearing masks or anything like that. So we're in a privileged position where we don't have to worry too much about that stuff right now.
Within your inner circle, like she's not talking about like, hey, everybody at the mall, let's hang out because we can. You're talking about your friends and family.
Well, obviously we're not recording at the mall. But you can go to the mall in New Zealand right now if you want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really don't have that many. Like, do we have any community cases right now?
I don't think.
Oh,
there might be one or two, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
So obviously we are still, aware of it, and masks are necessary on public transport. They're required. But other than that, life is pretty much normal.
Okay. So getting back to the actual numbers, how many shows have you got?
Have you figured it out?
I counted, and I think we have 8 or 9 so far, inclusive of both released and non-released RPGs. Yeah. But I mean, so
sounds
right, like we've got D&D.
I feel like we've done more than that.
Well, we've released the Dungeons and Dragons Call of Cthulhu, the Extraordinary Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
sorry,
it's also an RPG.
Sorry, I love Terry Gilliam movies. A lot of people don't know Terry Gilliam went off and did stuff Baron Munchausen, Brazil. What's the other one? Sometimes Python's in it. You know what I mean? Like Eric Idle is in Adventures of Baron Munchausen. He's the guy with the big legs he left on the moon, right? So he borrows cast members from, you know. Time Bandits, my absolute favorite.
I think I watched Time Bandits as well. It was a very good movie.
And has John Cleese in it. Anyway, sorry, you got
started just
nerding
just
out there, destroying my movie geek. It's like, oh, yeah.
Good stuff. I think we've also...
And then we did The Wild Seas and Shiver, two new RPG Kickstarter-related ones.
Yeah, so Shiver is what we're currently releasing, and we've got a number in the backlog as well that we're probably not going to say out loud.
How many
I think 3 or 4. So in total, 9. Yeah.
Okay.
It looks another...
I don't know. You would like this is hopefully going to be listened to by your audience. You want to talk about the systems that are coming up. Maybe you don't want to reveal titles and cast, but could you give us a lineup of the next couple of systems that are going to be released at least?
I think so. We're definitely wanting to release a few varied systems. So we're thinking of releasing Fate core eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think probably the next one that's going to be coming up will be Everyone is John.
Yes.
Right?
So our next RPG would be Everyone is John, and then magical things.
Magical things. Yeah.
Cool. Right on. So what about, like, again, this might be an early question. You guys are only 6 months old, but there's so much thought. I love the Starburst behind the D20, which is behind the world, and the Ripple banner. That is that supposed to be a terry towel? Like, is the banner supposed to be a towel? Because you just have that, shall we say, sheep woolish look to it.
Yeah.
Azul knows what I'm talking about. You mentioned sheep.
I do.
Yeah. It's well thought out. So I'm guessing that you guys have put a lot of thought into possibly merchandise coming. Can we put this, can
honestly,
we slap this
no.
on a t-shirt? No? Like, do you own the rights to this picture?
We are not really thinking of getting into the merchandise game at this point in time, possibly further down the road. But that's a lot of a different kind of work that we don't really know a lot about. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's,
but we have been very fortunate to work with
not as hard as you might think to just slap something on a mug or a sticker. There are websites that you just like upload your picture, they slap it on a shirt and sell it for you.
Yeah. All right,
they take their $6, their $6 or 10 up to 12, that's $12 US or $50 Canadian, you know, ship it out, and then there's whatever you want for your profit margin. And a lot of these websites offer charities. So for example, we use teespring.com. So if you go to teespring.com/rollmongers, you see all the logos, even this one, on hoodies and t-shirts and stuff. But we're not looking to make money off it. We have this sort of $2 to $5 profit, and that there's the dollar of that that goes to MS for charity.
Oh, right.
And then there's a bit of a margin that can be taken away so that our patrons can save 5% on the merch, because it has to come out of our profit, not the $12 that Teespring wants, and not the $12.50 it's going to cost you to ship it around the world. Because if you put those three together, no one's going to pay $50 for this show on a t-shirt. No. Right. So we're trying to make it as affordable, but it's free advertising. People walk around with your stuff. It's a wonderful feeling. So what I'm saying is, guys, don't wait till you're really big. It's a great logo, even for yourselves, because you can upload it to them and just sell it to yourself and have your very own mug. Never has to hit the public.
Cool.
Like, technically, this mug does not come off of Teespring. My wife took the picture to a coworker that does this type of thing out of her home and slapped that on for me. And I'm like, this is so cool, but it's such a small mug inside. I want to drink tea out of this, so I'm going to put my pens in it. And she's like, it's going to sit on your desk. I'm like, it's going to have a place of honor on my desk right there. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to look at it and go, give it the finger guns, because it's just so cool.
It is a nice, it's a nice mug.
Yeah. The logo, you know, my son made this.
Oh.
Very simple, right? And this is my company that I formed last year, so it can be in debt instead of me. Because there's no money in podcasting, let me tell you. And now I've killed my my camera feed. I'm all fuzzy. Anyway, sorry. I got to apologize to my listeners of this show, because I find myself repeating myself the same stories to the cast. Really? There's merchandise? And I just tell the same spiel. Yeah, there's merchandise. And then they're like, oh, he's doing the merchandise bit. I got time to go get a coffee or something, right? So getting back to questions for you guys, what is your latest project? What are you guys, like, recording right now?
Oh, I think we're actually going to take a bit of a break from recording during December, because...
Oh, well, we do have one last recording session coming up, which is...
Did I forget?
Don't forget.
Oh, there's two. There's two, I think. Aren't there?
Well, potentially. That's a discussion for after the interview.
Oh. All right.
But we at least have one. We've got to play the rest of our Don't Rest Your Head session.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Don't Rest Your Head is a very interesting short RPG by Evil Hat Productions. That's got a very insomniac kind of vibe to it. It's like a psychological horror insomnia kind of thing.
Real Elm Street, don't go to sleep because Freddy's going to get you kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Very much like dreamy logic kind of situation. Like, it's like a cross between Alice in Wonderland and I don't know, something horrible.
And something else with nightmares.
Something else that's just so horrible. But you're into it, right? You're having a good time playing it.
Yeah.
So how about a couple of optional questions? And guys, you do not have to answer these if you do not wish. But personally, I've been, well, even before I started these shows, I would chat people up in gaming stores and that kind of thing. And I always like to ask somebody what they did for a living, like what paid the bills, what bought the book, right? You're here to buy the same core book I am, you know, and I've talked to lawyers, doctors, ditch diggers, you know, the rich and the poor, you know, not just... And we're making the joke over 40, overweight, but not quite. Studio is a basement, but it's not my mom's basement. You know, that well, stereotype. Yeah. Well, it's a stereotype here in North America for a lot of gaming. So I find it funny. what do you guys do for a living, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. I do consultancy. So basically, your typical desk job, boring thing. Very boring thing.
No. What do you consult for? Like computer tech or?
Yeah, computer tech basically. So
okay.
It's a bit of a. It's definitely not the kind of thing, like the creative kind of aspect of things.
No, if I was mad at my computer and you don't want to talk to the tech guy, but you have to, and you and the blue hair and the cat mask popped up, going, "Hi, how can I help you? My name is Azul.
I can help."
I would want to keep on the phone and ask you 100 questions. But I'd keep that call going as long as it could. That'd be like the rest of my day. That'd be awesome. What about you, Aaron?
Yeah, well, right now, I guess I'm kind of living the dream, the very poor dream.
You're a waitress, aren't you? Not an actress. Is that how it goes?
Yeah. I work freelance as an actor and a writer. Doing any acting work I can get, voice acting. I do theater reviewing, I do copywriting, I'm creating a theater show at the moment and working on the podcast. I play like fairies and princesses at kids' birthday parties, you know, a whole bunch of that kind of stuff to make ends meet and, you know, satisfy my creative drives.
Okay. And last but of course not least, Isabel.
So I work for an international charity, on the front end side of things, speaking to and responding to the supporters. Yeah.
Oh, right on. So like when somebody gets involved in the charity and they don't know where to, send the money or the details or find out more about it, what they're getting for the money, that type of, you're the front end with all the info and you're the... maybe not the face, but the voice that leads them to the end game in the transaction.
Yeah,
is that what?
Absolutely. You know? So absolutely. Anytime we have to speak with our supporters or supporters want to speak with us, they'll be speaking with me or someone else in my team.
Let's be truthful. You're just kind of a cooler tech guy than Azul. Like,
a lot of times it ends up being cooler, a lot of our supporters are quite old as well. Okay. Bless them.
Just slightly cooler tech. Okay, I thought it was good. So he's muted, but you can hear him laughing in the background. Guys, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I know I must have missed a bunch of pertinent questions. I'm just quickly scrolling through here. I gotta ask, Isabel, you're kind of a rare case. Like there's usually somebody that has a week, a month, a year, something in tabletop. Now you're drawing from your acting experience. So a lot of people are like, no, she's good. You know, you're good to go. But, how are you finding this going from zero to podcast? No. Well, let's just play for funsies. Like, did they prep you at all? Or what I heard, like, oh, you're like, hey, noob, come on, you're Cora. And you're like, hi, I'm Cora the Halfling. You know, and I was like, oh, wow, they just, like, yanked this poor actress out. Oh, wait a minute, she's an actress. That's what you do for a living, right? Here's your script. Like, I'm just curious, like, how's it been for you? Is this, like, an acting job where they're like, okay, you get to convince your character, you get to run with your character, you know, the DM's kind of the director, the story's kind of an open script. Do you find it like that? You're drawing on your professional experience, or is this just like nothing like acting for you? It's a game, and these buggers did not let you learn how to play Monopoly. Go.
No, yeah, for sure. I would say it's less like an acting job and more like an acting, like club or class in that it's a lot more of improv, which is usually something that you would, like, for the most part, I would do as an exercise as opposed to like that I'd be paid to do. But it is, so it's not entirely new to me, but the dice thing is the thing that I'm still struggling with. No matter how many times rules of a system are explained to me, I can't understand it until I'm actually doing it. And they're different rules each time because they're different games. So I feel very lost in terms of all of that, but I'm really enjoying it. I really like it.
Well, there is one advantage in this game is, like, if you don't know, you just say what you intend to do with your character and the DM will explain how to go about it, the dice side, or, you know, and if they're not, they're not playing properly or very nicely, I'll tell you that right now. You should never have a player DM go, oh, you should know this. It's a move action to pick up your sword, not a swift action. Like, no one should be doing that to you. So
yeah,
exactly. You know. And matters, you might not always hear it in the podcast because, you know, we don't want to bore everyone with, you know, every time that someone is like, oh, what do I do, and it's not just Isabel as well, we have a bunch of new players.
There's a market for that. There is a market for that. When Pathfinder 2nd Edition came out in August, we had this crazy idea. We were like ramping up for two new shows and we're gonna do an evil, and it was like, I just had this inspiration and I'm like, guys, like, we literally kind of like called up everyone, stop the presses, I have this idea. And they're like, sure you do. You always have too many ideas, Jeff. We can't keep up with all this crap. We got going. No, hear me out. It's like, the book dropped in August, right? I'm like, yeah. It's like, we'll give the core book to Joe Gibson because he can read this shit like overnight. And he'll be like, not a co-GM, but a rules lawyer. But he won't play. And I'll read the adventure. So without that month of prep time that most DMs and podcasts would need to launch their show, like a solid 3 weeks or a month, we're going to launch in like 1 week. Go, and we'll be the tip of the spear for it. So Age of Ashes comes out as the first adventure path for 2nd edition Pathfinder August, and we to make things worse, far worse than podcasting, which we kind of knew after a couple of years, you tackle a brand new system with a brand new cast that is not used to working with your old cast, jam them together, and then I'm like, let's live stream this because I just got Fantasy Grounds as a sponsor. What could possibly go wrong? Yeah, it was a bit of a mess, but it's turned out to be one of our biggest shows. So thanks for those that have at least looked, if not stayed with the show. It's hard not to love three dwarven cousins. Like, they went totally old school. For a new system, they went old school. Three dwarven cousins come down Five Kings Mountain to open a microbrewery, and they just need cash, startup cash. Oh, there's an adventure.
That's amazing.
We'll help. Yeah, and it's the chemistry these guys have is great. And we threw in cast members. Yeah. We rotated cast, you know, that kind of thing. So when I come across something like you guys, where, again, this ambition to, like, we're going to try the one shot's done. Everyone, you have a week to read the new book or go get somewhat affiliated with the rules so that you can make a character and make it work because we're shooting the next thing on Saturday. Like, that's gutsy. Like, I don't think people realize what you guys have taken on. You know,
I don't think we realize it either.
It is a lot of work, especially for Azul, since he's usually the DM. So he has to do a lot of reading.
Oh, yeah.
We try to make it as easy as possible for the players. We have like a pre-session before we do the recording that's just, you know, online on Zoom or something to get everyone acquainted with the rules in the world and get some ideas for characters, let everyone know what they need to do for character creation. And then we'll normally go over things one more time on the day before we start recording. So hopefully everyone feels kind of comfortable. And I guess, you know, our cast is really made up of actors and people who are really experienced with RPGs or both. So everyone's just been so great at jumping in and being able to just take whatever's given and roll with it.
But that's what you guys wanted to do. That's the first thing you guys said, is like, we wanted to present a whole bunch of systems to people that they can sample. And you guys are doing a great job. I've been speaking with Azul. What is your last name, sir? Are we allowed to know?
It's Alison.
Oh, okay. Isabel Cohen. And am I saying this right? Aaron O'Flaherty?
Flaherty. Irish.
Okay, because there's no T. Flaherty.
Flaherty. An Irish accent.
Oh, sorry, I gotta take one ear. I gotta hear myself speak to like do a decent one. Flaherty.
Yeah, there you go.
Flaherty. Yeah, fat bastard. Okay, I think I got it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
And hopefully when we see you guys again, because I'd love to have you back on the show with different cast members, same cast members, new cast members, we will have more to talk about, other shows, or you know what, just having you guys back would be great. So thank you so much for being on the show, and we will see you all next time on Attack of Opportunity.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you
so much for having us.